Bible this morning to Jeremiah chapter number 1, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but I want to give you just a moment of introduction before we get to the book of Jeremiah. The Lord led my heart to the book of Jeremiah this morning to preach from, and I trust that it will be an encouragement to you, and as a preacher, as you prepare and you get things ready, you certainly want to go the direction that God would lead you, and then you also want to be praying that God would use it to speak to hearts. And so I trust that God will use the message that is given today to encourage you. As we look at the life of Jeremiah, we're going to notice him as a Bible character who displayed perseverance. We are using this these two words of press on as our theme for 2021. And to begin the year of 2021, we took you to some of the New Testament books that Paul wrote and some passages that Paul wrote in the New Testament that gave us some analogies, some illustrations of the race that we are to run in as Christians. And so we encouraged you that as Paul encourages us that when we are saved, we ask the Lord to be our Savior, we're a Christian, and therefore, he enters us into the Christian race, and we're to run the Christian race well. We're to get to the finish line and to finish the Christian race that God has put us on earth to run. And then we went to a series of messages at the earlier part of the year as well, where we talked about some hindrances in our Christian race as we are endeavoring to press on for the Lord. And we talked about some hindrances that can stand in our way to keep us from running the race well, or perhaps keeping us from finishing the race the way the Lord would have us to finish it. Whatever hindrance stands in your way, perhaps in your Christian race, don't stay there long, but overcome that hindrance and ask God for his help. And we talked about that. And then we went on to a series of messages that dealt with the helps that God has given to us so that we can press on and complete this race that God has given us to run, and to, again, run it well and to finish it well. But I wanted to take just a few messages here to talk about some Bible characters that I think we can look at who display this idea of perseverance to get to the finish line and to complete and not to quit. And we're going to look at the life of Jeremiah, and we're going to notice Jeremiah's perseverance even during problem times, even during times of trouble. And we're going to notice that in the life of Jeremiah and the book of Jeremiah today as well. You know, the Bible, throughout the Word of God, it reveals to us that perseverance really is one of the Christian character traits that ought to be true of our lives as Christians. As a matter of fact, we're going to see it in just a few moments. Perseverance is something that God has even commanded us as Christians. It's a character trait that ought to be part of our lives as Christians, and it's something that God has commanded from us as Christians as well. And so we're going to notice that. I don't want you to look at the word perseverance as just saying, well, that's a motivational word, maybe to keep somebody going, to encourage somebody to persevere, but it should be a word that describes us as a Christian. If we know the Lord is our Savior, we shouldn't just look at it as a motivational word to just keep us going, but a word that ought to describe us as a Christian, that we have perseverance in our lives. And just by way of introduction, I want us to understand about perseverance as we look at some Bible characters that help us to see this thought of pressing on and encourage us in our lives as Christians to press on. I want you to understand that when we're persevering as Christians, it proves the genuineness of our faith. It proves that we do know the Lord as our Savior, and we love Him enough to continue on and to finish the work that He has started in us. And so it gives us a good proof or a good picture of the genuineness of our faith, but it also helps us to understand that we are spiritually maturing in our lives as well. But I want you to look at this word perseverance maybe in a few different words that the Bible uses to describe this thought of perseverance. I want us to understand that we could use the word that the Bible uses, the word steadfastness. The Bible commands us to be steadfast. As a matter of fact, my life verse, the verse that I've gone to as an encouragement in my life and has become my life verse, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, where it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," it uses the word steadfast, "be ye steadfast, unmovable." It says, "always abounding in the work of the Lord." I love the end of the verse. "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Whatever you do for the Lord, as you remain steadfast and you remain unmovable, the work that you do for the Lord is not in vain. So another word that we could use to describe this idea of perseverance or pressing on for the Lord is the word steadfast. We're to be steadfast. We're to be unmovable as Christians. And then another word that we could use is the word persistence. To be persistent. Whatever it is that God has called us to do, just to be persistent with it. And not to quit, not to give up, not to throw in the towel, not to throw in the white flag of surrender, but to continue on. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, it says, "Be not weary in well doing." Now that's a verse we could use as a theme verse for the day after camp. Be not weary in well doing. You think about the week long trip with campers at camp. Be not weary in well doing. The work was good, but it is that our flesh can get a little bit weary. But God wants to encourage our spirit to go on. So be not weary in well doing, for in due season, he says, ye shall reap if ye faint not. By the way, those that help in a couple weeks at Bible time, that would be a good verse at the end of Bible time as well. Be not weary in well doing. And so we can get involved in the service of the Lord, but he says, hey, don't be weary in it, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. So continue on and don't faint in the race. So be persistent at what God has given you to do. And then we could use the word endurance as well. To be steadfast in our lives as Christians and then to be persistent. And then the word endurance as well. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So we're to have endurance in our lives as well. Now, all of those verses that we just read to give you some words that will encourage us with this thought of pressing on or this thought of perseverance in our lives, all of those verses that we just read to describe steadfastness and endurance and persistence are all desires that God has for His children. He desires His children to be steadfast. Matter of fact, we could look at the book of Psalm 1, where it talks about how that we're to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The Bible talks about his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We're to be like that tree, steadfast and unmovable. And Psalm 1 encourages us that when we get into the Word of God, that's the blessed man. As he finds time to meditate upon the Word of God, he'll be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. So God desires for his children to be steadfast. God desires his children, those that are his. He desires us to be persistent, not to quit, not to stop short of the victory that God has for you, not to stop short of the finish line, but to start well and to run well and to finish well, to be persistent in the Christian life. And God also desires for us as Christians to have endurance as well. But I don't want us to skip over the most important part. It's not just that God desires us to be steadfast. He doesn't just desire that we be persistent or desire that we have endurance as Christians. He commands it as well. He commands it. He says, remember what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." That sounds like a command from God, doesn't it? Be ye steadfast, unmovable. It's not an option to be considered. It's a command that God gives us. So we are steadfast in our lives as Christians. And then remember, we talked about persistence. Be not weary in well doing. Be not weary in well doing. It's a command that God gives to us. And then he says of endurance, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So he commands us to persevere as Christians. He commands us to be steadfast and to be persistent and to have endurance in our lives. And so what I want us to notice is that as a Christian, we are not only called to believe the gospel. That's what we would say happens when we trust Christ as our Savior, when we're saved. We believe the gospel, don't we? There's a time in which we acknowledge the fact that we're sinners, There may be somebody here today that's never put their faith and trust in the gospel. You've never gotten to a place in which you realize or acknowledge that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the Bible lets us know that all of us are sinners. Every one of us have failed God, whether it be through our words or our actions or our attitudes. We've all done things that have displeased God. We've broken God's law, and so we're all sinners. So we get to a point where we realize we're a sinner. We understand and acknowledge and realize that there's a punishment for our sin. The wages of sin is death. There's a punishment. That's what we deserve. But one of the messages that we heard this week at camp during one of our chapel, our morning chapels, the preacher talked about the mercy of God and how He does not give us what we deserve. And aren't you thankful for that? That He withholds from us that which we deserve. He was reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, and he talked about how the Bible says, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. He doesn't give us what we deserve. We deserve to die and spend eternity separated from God, spend an eternity in hell, and then ultimately in the lake of fire, punished because of our sin. But we're called to trust Christ as our Savior. The Bible says He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we get to a point where we realize that we're a sinner and there's a punishment for our sin. And we believe the gospel, the three parts of the gospel, the good news that Jesus died and He was buried. He literally died. He was buried. And then 3 days later, He literally rose again, didn't He? And because of the truth of the gospel, the good news that Jesus died and was buried and He rose again, God speaks to our heart and lets us know that we need Him as our Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And God speaks to our heart and He calls us to Himself. He draws us to Himself. And we get to a point where the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. And so as Christians, we are called to believe the gospel. We're called to trust Christ as our Savior. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, today should be the day of your salvation. If God's speaking to your heart, and I hope you'll humble yourself and let someone know that. And we're going to give you an invitation to do that in just a little while when our service comes to an end. And if God is speaking to your heart, I hope you'll settle that. But as a Christian, we're called to believe the gospel, but I don't want us to stop short there. We're not only called to believe the gospel, but as Christians, we're also called to endure whatever challenge that we face because of the gospel, because of the fact that we are Christians, and because we've put our faith and trust in the Lord. The Bible says that not only we're called to believe the gospel, but we're called to endure the challenges that we face as a Christian because of the fact that we've trusted the gospel, because of the fact that we are a Christian. If you would go to the New Testament of your Bible, if we would not even mention the Old Testament, if we would not even take the Old Testament, and we would just mention the New Testament of our Bible, there are so many commands that God gives us when we think of this thought of endurance or perseverance or persistence or steadfastness. The Bible says we are to endure hardness. We already talked about that verse as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Along the same lines, the Bible says we're to endure afflictions. As a Christian, have you ever had a moment of affliction in your life? The Bible says we're to endure it. We're to persevere. We're to be persistent. And we're to be steadfast and to carry on in our lives and not quit just because we face afflictions from time to time. So He commands us to endure afflictions. And then here's a tough one. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, He tells us to endure chastening. As Christians, from time to time, we're going to be chastened. Why? Because God's our Heavenly Father. And He wants to make sure we stay in line with His will for our lives. And so we're going to be chastened from time to time. And so we're to endure chastening. And then the Bible talks in the New Testament about enduring temptation or testing that comes our way. And we can certainly look back to the Old Testament and see individuals who give us example as Bible characters of times when God tested them. And many responded with obedience and they endured the temptation or the testing that God sent their way. And then the Bible talks about how that there are some that are going to get to the point where they no longer endure sound doctrine. The Bible tells us we're to preach the word, doesn't it? And we're to be instant in season and out of season. And we're to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, because there's going to come a time when some will no longer endure sound doctrine. As a Christian, we are to endure sound doctrine as we hear God's word taught and as we hear it preached. So as we think of this subject of perseverance and endurance and being steadfast and persistent in our Christian life, we have to come to the place that we understand that as we persevere through the challenges and through the sufferings and through the difficulties and through the discouragements of life, remember, we talked about hindrances along this Christian race as we're running this race for the Lord. When we get to the place where we do endure and we persevere through challenges and suffering and difficulties and discouragement, that's when we as Christians get to experience true victories. And I think we're going to get to see that in the life of Jeremiah. I think we're going to get to see a wonderful example of that in the life of Jeremiah. And so I want us, over the course of perhaps several messages, as long as the Lord would lay these on my heart, I want us to look at some Bible characters who displayed perseverance. And I want us to notice three things about Jeremiah. We may not complete all of this morning, but I want us to notice several things about Jeremiah when it comes to this thought of perseverance and persistence and endurance and being steadfast, this idea of pressing on in this Christian race that God has put us on earth to run. Look with me, if you would, at Jeremiah chapter number 1. And the first thing I want us to notice is the calling of Jeremiah. I want us to notice the calling of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had been called by God for a special purpose, for a special task, in the very moment in history that Jeremiah was born in. Aren't you thankful that God has called you in this very moment? He's called you to be the servant He wants you to be in 2021. We could go to the words of Esther in the book of Esther, "For such a time as this." Do you see God's hand working in your life in the generation He has put you in? Just like Jeremiah had a special calling in the day in which he lived on earth, God had a task for him. God had a calling for him. Jeremiah was going to be God's prophet. And notice how God says Jeremiah is called. So we want to see the calling of Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. These are the verses that we read for our scripture reading. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." By the way, without delaying or tarrying too long on this, because this is not the message, I do want us to understand that Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5 is one of the verses that we would go to help us as Christians to realize that every life matters, doesn't it? A child that is being formed in the womb of a mother, from the day that child is conceived, that life matters, doesn't it? And that's why we would say, we would believe that to take the life of a child in the womb of a mother, no matter how far along that pregnancy is, would be murder in the eyes of God, wouldn't it? And we would believe that as Christians, we would believe that as God's people, because He says even to Jeremiah as His prophet, "Before you were even born, before you came out of your mother's womb, I had already called you. I had already sanctified you. I had already ordained you to be a prophet." What is God trying to say in words that we would help us to understand? God's saying, "I already had a special task for you. Before you even came out of your mother's womb, before you sucked your first breath of life, God says, I had a special task for us." Let's look at the life of children that way. When God enables a lady to be pregnant and conceive in her womb a child that she's going to give birth to, let's look at every life as God having a plan for that life. God's desire to see them saved and God's desire to use them. That's what He wants for the life of Jeremiah. Look at verse number 6, if you would. "Then said I, Ay, Lord," He says, "behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Look at verse 7. "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And by the way, that's going to be very important. A little bit later on in the book of Jeremiah, we see the importance of God putting his words in the mouth of Jeremiah. Notice what it says in verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant, he says. I want us to look at the calling of Jeremiah. Now, the period of time in which God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet was the last 40 years of Judah's existence. So Judah is going to exist as the southern kingdom for 40 more years. The Bible tells us that the southern kingdom of Judah, had gotten themselves to a place where we could characterize them as a kingdom of immorality. As a matter of fact, we're not going to take the time to do it, but if you would flip over to Jeremiah chapter 2, maybe perhaps in your own Bible reading, you would start at Jeremiah chapter number 2, and you can start to see the immorality of Judah. You can start to see the sins that are being committed. And so they're characterized during this time in which Jeremiah is called as being a very immoral people, a people of political corruption and a people of apostasy. As a matter of fact, the political leaders of Judah, they were torn between two different directions. They were torn between an alliance with Egypt or a submission to Babylon. And here comes Jeremiah on the scene. And Jeremiah is called during this time in the reign of the southern kingdom of Judah. I want us to notice, though, back to Jeremiah chapter number 1, I want us to notice the second thought. I want us to not only see the calling of Jeremiah and the time period in which he was called, and then I want us to notice the hesitation of Jeremiah. I want us to notice the hesitation. Jeremiah has two things that are standing in the way. You probably noticed them as we read through Jeremiah chapter 1, and we started in verse number 4 and read down through verse number 10. You probably noticed them, but I want you to see the hesitation of Jeremiah. His hesitation is characterized by two different things. They're both mentioned in the scripture here. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. At the end of the verse, he says this, behold, he says, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The first thing that stands in the way for Jeremiah is an excuse that he has with his speech. As a matter of fact, when we see Jeremiah quote, when we see the quote of Jeremiah here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 6, I think it probably reminds all of us of another Bible character a little earlier in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, that used that same reasoning or that same excuse when God was calling him. Do you remember as God is calling Moses? And Moses says, I am not eloquent. I'm not able to speak. And remember, as God hears that reasoning or that excuse from Moses, eventually he calls Aaron to come along beside Moses and be his helper as he fulfills the call that God has for his life. And Jeremiah says the same thing. He says, I'm just a child. I don't know that I would be able to speak and give out the words that you would have for me to give out to the people. Well, remember, I told you that the verse that we read not too long ago certainly is an encouragement to Jeremiah, because the God answers his excuse, doesn't he? God answers his reasoning. He's not going to allow Jeremiah to use his speech as an excuse. So God answers that excuse that he has, or his reasoning. Aren't you thankful that when you're hesitant, when God calls you, and he desires that you do something in your life, aren't you glad that God answers our reasoning? God answers our excuses. You say, how does God answer my reasoning? How does he answer my excuses? With the promises that he gives us in the Word of God. He gives us commands, and when we are willing to obey his commands, he gives us promises, and he lets us know, I'll take care of you. Don't let anything stand in the way. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school. If he calls you, he's able to equip you. He's not calling those who are equipped already. He's equipping those who he calls. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to remember, to be reminded of. And so God is letting Jeremiah know, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you an answer for this excuse that you have. And notice how God answers him in verse number 7. He says this, "But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." So what is God saying to him in verse number 7 to answer his reasoning or answer his excuses away? God is saying that he's going to speak as God commands him to speak. God says, I'm going to direct your words. I'm going to make sure that I put the words in your mouth that I desire for you to speak. And then look how God answers him in verse number 9. He says again, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth." What an assurance God gives to him. As he places his hand on his mouth and he touches his mouth, "And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." God not only says, you're going to be able to speak as I direct, as I command you to speak, but I'm going to actually take the words that I want you to speak and to give them to you, to put them in your mouth so that you can speak them. But then Jeremiah has another hesitation. Not only is it the excuse of his speech, but notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. It says this, it says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." There's some fear that stands in the way, fear that becomes a hesitation for Jeremiah. And God comforts him. Aren't you glad that God comforts us the same way today? Fear not. Fear not, that's quoted over and over and over in the Bible, that gives us comfort and assurance that God is going to be there to take care of us. All we have to do is trust Him. Be not afraid. Fear not, God says. And look, God gives the answer, doesn't He? God has the answer for fear. Whenever there's times in which we as God's children have moments of fear, God says, I have the answer for fear. Just trust me. I am there for you. I know because of the day that we have lived through in the last year, there are shirts that a lot of individuals now have come out with that talk about things that we have had to go through over the last year. And one of the shirts that I saw a lot at camp this year, I saw a lot of young people wearing this at camp, and it's a reminder of what we had to go through last year in 2020 as we faced this virus. And it says these words, "Faith over fear." Let God be our helper. Let's learn to trust Him. Let's have faith in Him over fear that certainly can creep up from time to time in our lives. Notice God has the answer for fear, doesn't He? Notice what he says in verse number 9. He says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I've put my words in thy mouth." God says, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to give you the words that you need to speak. Look at verse 17, if you would, the same chapter, verse 17. And then down to the end of the chapter, verse 19, it says this, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins," he says, "and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city." What is God saying? God's saying, I'm going to protect you, isn't He? "I've made you as a defensed city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee." And then notice the comforting words that God gives to Jeremiah. He says these words, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord." That's comfort for us today too, isn't it? God says, don't fear, I am with you. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, God says. He says, I'm going to be with thee, and not only am I going to be with thee, but I'm going to deliver you, he says at the end of the verse. He says, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Don't look at their faces and cause it to make you fear. Don't fear the people, don't fear the kings, don't fear the priests, don't fear the princes or the people of the land. God says, I'm here to help you. And so we see the calling of Jeremiah, And then we see the hesitation of Jeremiah. But I want us to look at just a few verses of Scripture. We're not going to be able to look at all of these and all of the ones that we could look at in the story of Jeremiah to help us to understand this. But I want us to see a few verses of Scripture to help us to understand the perseverance of Jeremiah. So not only have we seen the calling of Jeremiah, we saw the hesitation of Jeremiah, but God gives him an answer. God gives him a promise. I'm going to give you words. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help to give you deliverance. And then I want us to notice the perseverance of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if there's any Bible character that we would say could have quit, Jeremiah would be the perfect example in the Bible of a prophet that could have quit. A Bible character that could have thrown in the towel and said, it's all over, I can't take any more. Jeremiah's certainly a Bible character that we could use to give as an illustration of somebody who could have quit. But I want us to know I want us to notice the perseverance of Jeremiah. Would you look at chapter 2 and verse number 1? Here's God's direction for Jeremiah. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2 of Jeremiah. Moreover, he says, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, he says, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. God says, I want you to cry out to them. I want you to tell them that there is a time in which I remember the good things of Judah. But now they have turned. Now they're living in their immorality. They're living in their apostasy. And he encourages Jeremiah to cry out. Jeremiah urges the people of Judah to look not at Egypt, not at Babylon, but look to the Lord to be their helper. They had been able to look at the northern kingdom, Israel, and the fall that Israel had taken, but they didn't learn from the fall of the northern kingdom. And so instead, now they're living in immorality and they're living in apostasy. But though they were in the depths of sin, though they were living in their immorality and their sinfulness and their apostasy, God still shows mercy. And the Bible says in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verse number 1, it says, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord. He says, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. In the midst of all of this wickedness and all of this sin, God still says, I'm a God of mercy, and I offer it to you. Though a destructive invasion of the enemy was certain, God says, I still want to show you mercy. As a matter of fact, he says in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 1, it says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. God says, I want to show you mercy. Invasion from the enemy is inevitable. But if you are willing to turn to me, God says, I'm willing to show you mercy. And so the Bible tells us that Jeremiah is grieved over this sin. As a matter of fact, that's why we refer to him as the weeping prophet. You've heard that description of Jeremiah before, as the weeping prophet. We refer to him as the weeping prophet because he's grieving over this sin. He's warning them. He's endeavoring to call them back to a relationship with God. And God says, if you will return, I will show you mercy. But I want us to notice just real quickly in a few passages of Scripture this morning to close this message out, that as Jeremiah delivers this message as a weeping prophet, as he delivers this message, he faces some problems, some trials, some difficulties, some discouragements during his ministry. But Jeremiah was able to persevere. Let's notice just a few of them this morning as we close this off. Would you look with me, if you would, at Jeremiah chapter 20? Let's start there, verse number 1 of Jeremiah chapter number 20. And we'll read through just a few of these and we'll draw our message to a close. Jeremiah chapter 2, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, "Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things." So he hears what Jeremiah is prophesying for the Lord. Remember, we told you that he's endeavoring to call them back to the Lord. He's endeavoring to get them to return to the Lord before it's too late. The invasion of the enemy is inevitable, but if you'll return to the Lord, if God can find individuals of truth and righteousness, he'll spare you. He'll be a God of mercy. And they hear this prophecy that Jeremiah is prophesying. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. "Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord." The Bible tells us that Jeremiah is beaten. And after Jeremiah is beaten, he's put in stocks. Here's what I want us to notice. That every time Jeremiah goes through a difficult time, in order to persevere, God again gives him assurance. God again gives him comfort. God again comes along beside of him and lets him know, "I am there with you." Look down, if you would, at Jeremiah chapter 20, the verses that we just read, and look down at verse 7, if you would. It says, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Every one mocketh me." Jeremiah is calling out to the Lord and he's saying, "It's become difficult. It would be easier for me to quit," Jeremiah said. "This is a daily struggle I have. I'm being mocked and I've been beaten and I've been put in stocks." And notice what Jeremiah says in verse number 8, and then we're going to notice the comfort of the Lord. He said, "For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said," look at verse 9, "I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Jeremiah had gotten to a place because of the difficulties, because of the troubles, because of the discouragements. It's almost as if Jeremiah is saying, "I've got to quit. I'm done. I can't endure it anymore. I can't persist anymore. I can't be steadfast anymore." But notice what the end of verse number 9 says. "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." It's the way for God's word to let us know that Jeremiah says, "I'm going to persist. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to move on. Because God's word is as a burning fire and it's shut up in my bones." And notice what it says at the end of verse number 9. "And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay." He said, "It was as if I could not keep quiet about what God has put in my heart. I've got to go on. I've got to persist. I've got to be steadfast. I've got to persevere. I've got to endure and go on." It's God's way of comforting Jeremiah and letting him know, yes, you may have been beaten. Yes, you may have been put in stocks, but I am there with you to help you not only to run the race well, but to finish the race well and to persevere and to get to the finish line. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 26, for sake of time, we can't read all of these passages, but the Bible tells us that his life is threatened. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter number 36 that God gives him words to write down. He calls over a man named Baruch. You may remember the story. And the Bible tells us that Baruch writes down the words of Jeremiah. And as Baruch writes down these words, the king begins to read the words that were written down. Do you remember the story? And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter number 36 that he takes out a penknife and he begins to cut up the words that were written down for Jeremiah to speak to the king. As he takes out that penknife and he cuts up the words, there's a fire that's kindling nearby. And he takes those pieces of scripture, the words that Jeremiah had been given by God. Because remember, in Jeremiah chapter 1, God says, "I'm going to give you the words to speak." He gave him a reminder, "I'll give you the words. You may think that you can speak only as a little child, but I'll have the words for you." And the king threw those pieces of scripture into the fire. Well, what does the Bible tell us happened with Baruch and Jeremiah? That God begins to give him those exact words again. And he writes them down again. You talk about God giving comfort. You think about Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3. Do you remember that verse? What a promise God gives to Jeremiah. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You talk about comfort from God as Jeremiah goes through these times. In Jeremiah chapter 37, his life is threatened. In Jeremiah chapter 38, he's cast into a dungeon where he's sinking in the mire. But he's got a man that God sends his way by the name of Ebed-Melech. And he helps to gather up a crew of individuals that are going to lower down some rags and deliver Jeremiah out of that miry spot in the dungeon. God is with him every step of the way. Can I say this about Jeremiah's life? Through all of this that he faced, he kept going. There was a Bible character certainly that we would see in the life of Jeremiah if you read through all of these stories in Jeremiah where you'd say he could have quit, and certainly he had many reasons why he could have quit. Certainly going through much more than every one of us have faced as a Christian on this earth. But yet he continues on and he does not quit, and he sees God's hand of deliverance. He sees God's hand of help, and he is faithful with no visible results to even show. Do you realize that we're in a day as Christians where visible results, and really not just this day and the day that we read the Bible as well, visible results are not the gauge as to whether God is working in our lives. We don't look around and say, well, if I see visible results, then that means God's working in my life. Let's talk to missionaries that have gone to different countries and not seen salvation decisions for years and years and years as they preach the gospel. So a visible result is not a gauge as to whether God's working. Jeremiah sees no visible results at all, but yet he doesn't quit. Yet he perseveres and he stays faithful. Some would have quit, and I'll say this, some would have quit for a lot less. But yet we as Christians have a great reminder in this Bible character of Jeremiah. And can I say this today by way of an application? God is looking for those who are steadfast. God is looking for those who will persevere, those who will be persistent, those who will endure. Many that are sitting here today would say in your Christian race that there's been difficult times, there's been afflictions you've gone through, there's been temptations, there's been testings, there's been discouragements. But do we quit or do we persevere? May it be said of us by way of application as we bring this message to a close today, may it be said of us that our lives are marked by faithfulness. May it be said that our lives are marked by endurance, that our lives are marked by persistence, steadfastness, perseverance as we press on for the Lord. Father, I thank you for the story of Jeremiah in the Old Testament of our Bible. Lord, I pray